Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Virtual Reality Podcast. Just a quick message at the beginning, letting you all know where we've been in the past few months.
Well, where have we been? Short answer is at home. Long answer is cooped up in our beds all day, overwhelmed with school and college work. But we're back now. That's what matters.
Yeah, we've been taking a break for the past month, but we're back to it now. Our plan for the rest of this podcast is at least one episode each month.
What do I say?
And with that said, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Login LA Virtual Reality Podcast.
The student-run show where we talk to some pretty amazing people.
Quarantined, of course.
Today we talk to some very special guests.
I will sit down and talk to Christine Latif.
And I will be chilling in my bed, just relaxing and talking to my good friend, Abraham Flores.
Christine, that's me.
It is.
Whoa, and I'll be interviewing you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's great.
I'm down.
I'm so down. This is going to be a fun episode. Definitely. It's definitely going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
What, you thought I wasn't done with my sentence? I'm from California. That's how I speak. I mean, that's how I speak. So I don't know what you're talking about. But without further ado, Christine, tell me, how have you been coping? Have you been getting on that TikTok train?
Oh, yeah. Like most teenagers, I have definitely been addicted to TikTok. Mm-hmm. I'd say that my For You page is just basically a unique combination of like Middle Eastern TikTok, so like Arab TikTok. Mm-hmm. I've also been on like alt TikTok too, which has been fun. I even ended up on book TikTok, which was interesting. And, you know, got a good little rainbow sprinkle of gay TikTok in there too, just to spice things up.
That's great. Let's see, my TikTok. I think the most memorable TikTok I've seen in the past few days is waste management TikTok. And talking about how that whole process works. It's very interesting and very scary what happens in those jobs, in those facilities. Honestly, I don't know how I would describe my TikTok For You page, because it's kind of just random videos like that. Sometimes it's Hank Green talking about how ice is technically a stone and water is technically lava. And sometimes it's just chaos, and I'm here for it. It keeps me entertained.
It's so addictive, though. Like, you will, like, get on it, and the next thing you know, an hour has passed, and you're like, oh my god, where did the time fly?
What's your message to people who still have not gotten TikTok?
Save yourselves while you can. Because once you download it and you make an account, there's no going back.
Absolutely not. Have you tried making a TikTok?
Oh, I've like made some TikToks, but like, no, I'm not like a popular TikToker or anything. I just make some for fun.
Well, you see, Christine, I was making TikToks before they were TikToks.
Oh, that's really? Right.
Back when they were Musical.ly.
Not Musical.ly. Oh no. My god.
I had just a few. I think they all deleted from my account. Like when like that whole child protective things happened, they all got deleted, and I'm so sad about that. I never really tried again, but every now and then I'm like, wow, this would be a really funny TikTok, and I just make it. I don't post it. They're all in my drafts, but I do have my fun making them.
My god.
What are some of your favorite TikToks?
I mean, I don't really know if I have favorites, because I kind of just watch whatever's on my For You page. But I mean, I definitely, besides like the entertainment side of TikTok, I also really like the spreading awareness and activism side of TikTok. So there's definitely a lot of like really interesting people on there that I enjoy watching. And is it just me, or has like social media, whether that's through Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, etc., taught me more about like social issues or what's going on in our world than school? Literally. Mm-hmm. Literally.
No, I agree. I think Instagram over the past few months, definitely over the last year, has kind of changed for me at least into maybe a platform where you can share yourself or like at least highlights of yourself to now, I don't know. I feel like now I go on it to learn a little bit more about how the rest of the world is thinking, which isn't always a great thing, but and it can very often become stressful.
Yeah, I definitely feel like Instagram has changed. I also feel like the algorithm's pretty different now, too.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, I say that because, a lot of people on Instagram have been talking about it. Mm-hmm. And same goes for TikTok, too. You hear the phrase, like, shadow banned a lot. And I've noticed that a lot of people who are shadow banned are people of color. So I'm like, are they trying to silence POC voices on social media or what's going on here?
Some, you know, when things like the black square thing, what was known as like Blackout Tuesday, when things like that happen, I think 50 years from now, maybe like 60 years from now, people are going to be reading this about this online platform called Instagram, where one day everyone decided to be an activist and post a black square. What are, like, how are they going to react to that?
And I know that there's a lot of like very mixed opinions on the black square too, because some people were just saying like, oh, it's to spread awareness and to, you know, amplify black voices by just posting the black square as a sign of like, I stand in solidarity with you. But others said that it felt very performative and like not genuine.
Yeah. It was like almost an excuse to not actually do things.
I mean, yeah, I've seen some people who go to my school and they, you know, posted the black square and then after that did not speak about Black Lives Matter again. And I was like, oh, okay. Now that was performative.
Right. Right. I think it's kind of an interesting balance because I think we're in the society, we're in the day and age where if you're like an activist, but you don't post about it, it's like, oh, are you even an activist? Like, I don't see you doing anything when you're like actually like drenched in emails and doing all these things trying to make things happen. But it's also the opposite of it where it's people reposting things all the time, constantly. And it's like, okay, what are you actually doing though?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't just post a black square and call it a day. Like, you need to do more than that.
Right. Well, yeah, for me, I think Instagram hasn't been a very good platform lately for me to go de-stressed. TikTok has been kind of that platform. But speaking of coping, Christine, I'll be honest, senioritis.
Oh, no.
It's hitting. It's hitting hard.
I totally get what you're saying because it's definitely been impacting me as well. I don't know. It's so weird because it's like I obviously care about school. And, you know, I want to do well and get good grades and all this stuff. And, you know, I'll even try like writing schedules for myself if I'm feeling particularly snazzy that day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to be so productive. I'm going to get so much work done. This is going to be so great. And then I just don't have the motivation to do it. Or when I do get some motivation, it's like late at night. So I stay up until like 2 a.m. doing
work. Right. Yes. Yes, I agree. I agree. I was watching this this video on sleep and how teenagers and kind of like 20-year-olds, almost college kids, are like natural sleep cycles. They fall further in the day. So we're supposed to wake up later and go to sleep later than probably like most other people. Than like children and older than 30 adults. I totally agree with you. I cannot go to sleep like at 10 a.m., 10 p.m. Like I've tried and I just lay in bed and I'm like, oh my God, now I want to do things? Like,
exactly.
Now I have the energy?
Now I finally feel the need to do that assignment that I've been putting off for 3 days. Like, where did this come from?
Oh, I see. 3 days. More like 3 weeks for me, but moving on. No, but for real, senioritis has been hitting really hard, not just with like classwork. I think for me, it's also like mental health, because the way I've been seeing it is I used to work really hard at school. Like when we were in person, I used to work super hard. I used to be involved in all these things, right? Mm-hmm. But I was still able to cope because I had all my friends there with me. Like it didn't matter how hard I would work in one period, because I knew that the next period I would see my friends.
Yeah.
Or during lunch, I would see my friends and talk with them, or just be in the same room as them. But I think now it's you're not, you don't have that cushion anymore.
Like that support system.
Right, exactly. So like I get out of these Zooms and after a whole day of Zooms, I'm like, okay, I could get to work now, but I'm so like emotionally exhausted to work. Like, how am I going to be able to do this?
I totally get the feeling. I've also, like, besides senioritis, I've also been having a lot of, like, Zoom exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some days that I'm like, I swear, if I see another freaking Zoom screen, I'm going to, like, lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm actually going to go insane. Like, I cannot take this anymore. Like, I am such an introvert. And, like, I mean, I can talk to people. It's just I really, you know, enjoy being alone.
Right.
And so, like, you know, I've never felt the need to be this, like, huge social person. But, like, low-key, I'm like, I miss human interaction. I'm like, I just want to see someone's face that isn't, like, my immediate family's face at this point.
Right.
I mean, obviously, we can't because of quarantine and COVID. And, yeah, you know, of course, both of us have been following those restrictions and, you know, just making sure that we're doing our part, wearing our masks, etc. But I mean, like, oh, like the way I would kill to just see my friend's face and give her a hug. Like, oh my God.
Right. Mm-hmm. With all that said, how do you feel about the governor's of California recent order that like restrictions are loosening? And restaurants are going to be able to have inside dining now.
Okay, this might not be the most popular opinion, but it's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I really
we're here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just say it. I'm not here for it. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? COVID rates have been skyrocketing in California, especially in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I read this statistic not too long ago. It was like 1 in 5 or like 1 in 3 people now have COVID, like in Los Angeles County.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, to open restaurants, you know, I just don't think it's the best time for that.
Right. Right. I agree. And here's my thing on it. We've had so many like different waves. It's been like, oh, yay. Like, COVID numbers are getting better. Let's reopen. Oh, wait. Reopening caused worse numbers. Let's close again. I feel it in my bones that this is just going to happen again and again and again. And people are going to get all their hopes up. And then it's going to be like, no. Lockdown.
Exactly. And I feel like when lockdown restrictions are lifted, people start taking the virus less seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh, all these places are open now. Like, okay, like I can host like a somewhat large gathering. Let's do this. And I'm like, bad idea. Right. Don't do it. So there's also that. And I was reading that there's like new like virus strains too.
Mm-hmm.
That have already found themselves in the US. I'm like, oh God, here we go again. Like there's one, I think, from like the UK. I also, if I'm not mistaken, read that there was a COVID strain from South Africa too. And, like earlier today, I was reading how it was like detected in the US for the first time. And I'm like, no, like South Africa, no.
Stop it.
No more COVID.
We have enough.
Like first it's the British, then it's South Africa. I'm like, what's next? Antarctica?
Oh no, not the polar bears.
Not the polar bears.
Wait a minute. No, Antarctica does not have the polar bears. The Arctic has the polar bears.
Oh yeah, I always get the two mixed up.
I actually learned, this is just a little side note, but a little educational thing. Arctic, in some language, that they, when they named the continent, means bear. So, when they called it the Arctic, they literally called it the land of the bears. So,
oh, wow.
When they found what is now called Antarctica, they were like, well, this has no bears. It's Antarctica.
I had no idea.
I don't remember where I heard that, but that's apparently a thing. While we're in this little little time of having fun, quick question, Christine. What is your personality type?
My personality type?
Yeah, like, do you know the Myers-Briggs, the 16
personality? Yes, I've heard of those. I have not taken that test yet.
No.
Wait, 1 second. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I took it once in my sophomore year. I kind of forgot my results. Oops.
No.
But I low-key feel like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, you know, as humans, like, we're constantly growing and changing, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I feel like I was a very different person in my sophomore year, right. than what I am now. So I don't even know if those results, like, even if I did remember them, exactly. Like, I don't know if they'd be accurate to the version of myself that I am now. So right. I should probably take that test.
You know what, Christine? Because I think I did the same. I think I took it my eighth grade year, and then I also took my sophomore year, and then I took it again, I think maybe 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Christine, it has not changed.
Really?
It has not changed at all. It's literally all the same. My personality type is ENFPA. And so the first three letters are, well, the first letter, it'll either be an E or an I. And so it's extroverted or introverted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that part. That's all I remember.
Right. The two letters in between, those are the things that changes. So I'm NF, which means intuitive and feelings. And then the P just stands for personality. But then the last thing at the end, the A, regardless of what your first, like what the rest of the personality types are, you will always either be a T or an A. And that means assertive or turbulent. And apparently, I'm assertive.
Love that for you.
Yeah. What I've realized in the past few days is that my closest friends are ENFP Ts.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
These friends, it's a very chaotic energy that happens with these specific two people. And I love it. Like, it's the greatest energy ever. We'll need to figure out what your personality type is, Christine.
Yeah, for sure. I should take that test soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm really curious to see what my results are.
No, me too. Definitely let me know after this.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know a lot about astrology?
Oh, I love me some astrology.
Oh.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, disclaimer for all of my astrology experts out there. I don't claim to be a professional. I am just one of those people that makes my zodiac signs a personality trait. So.
That's great.
Yeah. I was born on Christmas Eve. So I am a Capricorn.
Capricorn. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Big goat mermaid energy, basically.
Goat mermaid? What yes, is that?
Literally, like, have you looked up images of Capricorns? It's like the top half is like a goat, and then the bottom.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
yeah. And the bottom is like the mermaid tail.
So no.
Yeah.
No, because every single time anybody ever says, like, what they are, the only responses that I can guarantee the person who knows about astrology is going to say, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Virgo. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Like, all the time. It's like, oh, that makes sense.
That yeah. makes
sense. So, yeah. I don't really know much about astrology, but it definitely makes sense that you're a Capricorn.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it kind of depends on the person, because with some people, like I tell them that I'm a Capricorn and they're like, oh really, you're a Capricorn? I'm like, yeah, because there's this stereotype about Capricorns that they're very like serious and like emotionless, and I'm very like, you know, I'm like, I like to have fun, I smile a lot, mm-hmm. I'm goofy, and I'm like a pretty emotional person, but I'm like, no, that's just the mask that Capricorns put on. Like in reality, a lot of Capricorns I know are like huge softies. But yeah, and wait, quick zodiac lesson. Yes. You have your sun sign, which according to CoStar, which is like a zodiac sign app. Your sun sign basically determines your ego, identity, and role in life.
What?
Yeah. So my sun sign is Capricorn.
Oh, okay.
And then you have your moon sign, which rules your emotions, moods, and feelings. And it's like the sign that you most think of yourself as.
Okay.
And my moon sign is a Virgo.
Oh.
Yeah. And then you have your ascendant sign, which is like the mask that you present to people. So
that's,
it's
also known as rising, right?
Yeah, or rising, ascendant or rising. Yeah, they're the same thing. And that's like how people perceive you.
And what's that?
Mine's, it's in Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, I see.
Yeah, and honestly, like the way, like, zodiac signs low-key call you out sometimes. I'm like, like I did not need to be attacked like this. Right. Because my rising or ascendant is in Sagittarius and I'm reading it right now on the CoStar app, and it says your ascendant in Sagittarius, meaning you come across as independent, optimistic, and confident, though sometimes overly blunt or critical.
That does sound like a fairly accurate description of Christine.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, like, you just preached.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. So I am a Virgo. Mm-hmm. However, I am a Scorpio rising, or a Scorpio ascendant.
Oh.
And apparently that means that people find me, like, when they don't know me, and when they just, like, kind of know who I am, it's like they think I'm intimidating is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
Yes.
Intimidating. Like, tell me.
Okay, no, because like I remember because basically Abraham and I are we're both a part of like the Youth Liberty Squad, which is like affiliated with the ACLU. And I remember seeing him on Zoom for the first time, talking to Irene and just like presenting all these different things. And I'm like, oh my God, like he seems so smart. Like I'm intimidated by this person.
Oh, okay. You're the first person to like explain. I've always like asked people and they're like, well, I don't know. You're just like scary. Like, and I was like, what? I'm literally smiling all the time. Like
you are.
Like,
how? No, and that scares me too. Like, I remember
not a Joker smile.
No, maybe it's like my Capricorn in me, like my serious Capricorn side. But I mean, like, I remember you like presenting and you're like smiling, and I'm like, why is he smiling so much? Like, I'm like, this is scaring me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And I'm saying this as I'm smiling. Stop it. I can't help it. I can't help it.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, once, you know, I got to know you and we started like talking more and working on this podcast and stuff like that, I was like, okay, he's a big softie. There's nothing to worry about.
That's funny. That's great. Damn, this astrology really, really out here, just exposing us.
For real.
But also, some would argue, letting us to see deeper into ourselves, understand ourselves better.
Exactly.
And I would have to agree with that. Speaking of understanding ourselves better, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
The United States of America. The country. The nation.
We don't talk about her. No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
Yeah, how is she doing? Because I'm watching all these TikToks and it's like from these British people and they're like, hey, so like, Americans, are you okay? Do you need a hug?
Oh my god.
Yes. Yes.
Please. Wait, not from them. Not from the British.
But just yeah, a hug in general.
Yeah. No, I'm just playing. But yes, a hug would be very much appreciated.
We are at this point 9 days into the 46th president's administration. How are you feeling so far, Christine?
I mean, he's been doing some good. He's been, you know, like keeping a lot of his promises regarding, you know, undoing a lot of Trump's harmful policies and kind of just trying to, I don't know, make this country seem somewhat stable again. But he's been low-key doing some shady stuff behind the scenes, too. And I'm like, okay, this is not cool. Yeah. I follow this nonprofit organization called Zero Hour, which is like an intersectional movement of young activists who are like fighting for our planet and speaking out against climate change and just trying to spread awareness in general. Mm-hmm. And they posted this really interesting article on Instagram. It was basically talking about how Biden has issued dozens of oil drilling permits in the first few days of his presidency. And I'm like, wait one second. So he joins the Paris Climate Agreement again, you know, and it makes himself like look good. And I'm like, okay, it's a bare minimum. Like at least we're back on the Paris Climate Agreement now, right? But then he's also issuing dozens of oil drilling permits too. Like, how does this work?
Christine, how do you feel about Biden using all of these executive actions to get things done?
Honestly, I am personally okay with it because I feel like when he has been using executive actions, it's for like very good reasons and it's to undo a lot of the damage that Trump has caused. So honestly, like, I'm like fine with it. I'm like, do what you need to do. Just get rid of all the crap that Trump has put into our country.
Right. Right. But I want to stay kind of, you know, I also want to be critical of what it is, because let's think about it like this. What if Trump would have done the same amount of executive orders as Biden is doing now? Like, that would have been a big yikes. And there isn't a limit on how many like executive orders you can do, just how there isn't a limit on how many pardons you can do.
That's true. Yeah. Because it's like, if he can do it now, then what if we get like a Republican president in the future who's like, you know, oh, you can't criticize me for the amount of executive orders that I'm doing. Look at how many Biden's done.
Right. Yeah. So I think just always staying aware of what's happening, knowing that we need to keep our elected officials in check, but also realizing that it's not just the president. And I think the last thing that we need to remember is there are many, many layers of government between me, the citizen who lives in South Central Los Angeles, California, and the president of the United States who lives all the way in Washington, D.C. There's state assembly members, there's city council members, the mayor, all of those senators and all of the things in between that we need to remember to keep them in check too, not just our president.
Yeah, it's important that we hold everyone accountable.
Well, I'd like to thank my guests for coming. Christine Lateef, thank you very much for joining me on today's episode.
Yeah, of course. And thank you, Abraham, my lovely guest, for, you know, taking part in this podcast episode as well.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Talk to you next month.
Bye.
Bye.